Welcome to Intel on AI, a podcast series that brings you the latest on cutting-edge tech driving artificial intelligence in the enterprise today. And now your hosts, Derek Osborne and Emily Hudson.
Hello and welcome to Intel on AI. I'm Emily Hudson.
And I'm Derek Osborne.
Today, we're talking to Saurabh Gupta, the Director of Advanced Analytics and Artificial Intelligence Product Management at SAS. Welcome, Saurabh.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Saurabh, can you tell us a little bit about your role at SAS and what you're doing with AI there?
Sure, absolutely. I'm, as you mentioned, the Director of Product Management for SAS's Advanced Analytics and Artificial Intelligence portfolio. My team is responsible for defining and driving our product strategy, as well as we work very closely with our engineering teams to develop new features and take products to market. Our overall charter and goal is to develop and enable AI and analytics for everyone, everywhere. And our goal is to make it as real as possible so far our customers can benefit from it immensely.
Wonderful. Now, speaking of making AI real, can you give a more specific example of how you're doing that today?
Absolutely. I think what we can do is take a specific use case that we are working on currently. This is a computer vision use case that we are working with Amsterdam University Medical Center. What we are doing is medical image analysis to understand progression of liver cancer and to identify if a patient is a good candidate for surgery or not.
That's great. I know that liver cancer can be very, very fatal and spreads quickly. So it's really wonderful that you are working on this use case specifically. How is the computer vision being applied to this use case?
Sure. One of the first things what we are trying to do is identify the lesions that may develop on a patient's liver, right? So once you're able to identify it, then the next goal for us to is able to measure the size of lesions. And based on the size of lesion before and after chemotherapy, you're trying to identify if patient is ready for surgery or not. Surgery is really the best possible remedy to get over this sort of a cancer. So that's why being able to identify if a patient would respond to surgery or not is really critical. What radiologists do today is if you were to do an MRI and if you begin to look at medical images of these lesions, they would pick any two lesions and then measure the biggest diameter of that lesion. So you're really looking at a 2D image of a lesion and measuring the largest diameter and sum up the two diameters. And this is what is referred to as a RECIST criteria. And they will measure this diameter before and after chemotherapy. And in case after chemotherapy, the sum of these diameters of the two lesions have reduced by 30% or more, then the patient becomes a good candidate for surgery, and you know, oncologists believe that they will benefit from surgery.
Where are those images coming from?
So these images are truly coming through CAT scans and MRI type of medical imaging systems. These are not through cameras or anything that you may be putting inside the body at this point in time.
Are these 3D images then?
These images that come out of the system, they're typically called DICOM images, that are medical image format that one has to be able to recognize and work with. One of the potential challenges with the RECIST criteria is first, you're only measuring any two lesions. I think we can do better by taking advantage of some of the newer computer vision technologies and look at each and every lesion that is there on liver. So once we can look at the volume of a lesion using computer imaging, then we can sum up the volumes of all of these lesions and being able to compute a metric that gives me a complete picture of what the disease looked like before and after chemotherapy. Then we can say that, hey, this is truly a good criteria for analyzing whether this patient is ready for surgery or not. And this is something that we are working with our partner, Amsterdam University Medical Center. And obviously, a lot of these computations that we are doing is using our SAS Viya platform, which is running on Intel architecture.
So you've described a process that sounds kind of lengthy. Is AI involved then in every step of the process to speed up this workflow?
Certainly, as you can imagine in this, AI is involved in many of these steps, right? Once you have gone through an MRI system and generated these images, loading these images up because I need to be able to recognize these images, right? So this step is typically called image processing. And then once you have processed these images, then you need to train your models to recognize where are the lesions. And that's where AI comes in a big way. once you have recognized these lesions, then you need to build a machine learning model that can classify any sort of a patient into whether, hey, are they responding, progressing, or in some sense, the cancer is stable. Then you need to be able to embed a lot of this technology directly into the workflow of a radiologist so that they don't have to go through this process in a highly manual fashion. But as images are coming in, we can score those images and then provide a holistic view to the radiologist.
Have you gotten any feedback from the radiologists about this improvement in their workflow? Are they feeling like the SAS system is helping them?
So at this point in time, the new criterion is in a research stage. We are working with the oncologists as well as radiologists at the Amsterdam University Medical Center. So far, the feedback has been positive, but as with any case, a medical situation, this needs to be vetted through some more. Then we need to go through the right set of exercises to make sure that this is bulletproof because people's life will depend on this. But yes, we are working and getting positive feedback from both oncologists as well as radiologists.
I didn't know that SAS was in the space of AI. How long has SAS been working on in artificial intelligence?
I would say SAS wrote the very first neural network, and we made that available back in 1993. So if you equate artificial intelligence to neural networks, I can safely say we have been doing it for many years.
I generally think of SAS as being a software vendor rather than creating these tools. Do customers need to work with SAS and team up with SAS, or can they use SAS as a platform to do their analyses?
In fact, SAS can work with the SAS platform on their own and do all this analysis. They don't necessarily need to engage with SAS and SAS services to do their own analysis. And in fact, we have a pretty big partner ecosystem, both on the software consulting side, business process change side, as well as technology partners such as Intel as well. And a lot of our customers work directly with our partners to take advantage of the SaaS platform and solve many of their business problems.
Can you tell us a little bit, Saurabh, about the performance you're seeing when you're coupling your SaaS mixed analytics workload with our new Intel Xeon Scalable processors and our Optane SSDs?
SAS and Intel have been partners for over 20 years at this point in time, and we try and test out all of the new technologies that Intel is bringing to market wherever we see a good fit from an analytics and AI perspective. And Emily, what you just talked about is a perfect example of technology that we tested out. When we compared performance of some of our pretty heavy analytic workloads, these are machine learning workloads where we kind of processed about 400 gigabytes of data, we found that we were able to reduce the cost of ownership or cost of hardware that is necessary for us to run that workload by almost 20% without sacrificing any performance. Also, some of the work that we are doing with Intel is on OpenVINO. In fact, at the O'Reilly conference that just happened recently, we have actually put together a demo that leverages the OpenVINO framework for inferencing. What we are doing is we are showing actually a digital mobility demo that takes advantage of the fast inferences enabled through OpenVINO.
That's excellent. I know that OpenVINO is one of Intel's great software toolkits that can be used for computer vision applications, similar to what you're doing with the lesion detections.
That's one of the things that we find is implementing any sort of an AI system is not really very easy, right? It's a hard problem. And that's one of the reasons we are working on this problem is to make it easier. But what we hear from our customers is as they kind of embark on this AI journey, they want to use familiar architectures. They want to leverage the skills that they already have in-house. And Intel, from that perspective, is a great partner for us, and it's ubiquitous, whether you talk about it from a data center perspective or cloud perspective. So having the ability to use Intel as part of AI solution just makes it easier for our customers because they already have a lot of those skills and they are very familiar with the Intel tools. So it's a win-win situation for our customers, for SAS, and for Intel.
You mentioned earlier that your team is working to make AI real. Can you tell us a little bit more about what SAS and Intel is doing to make AI a reality in the enterprise?
So I think from our perspective, we kind of think about it along three dimensions. The very first dimension is you cannot really solve any business problems by just using machine learning or just using deep learning or computer vision or natural language processing. You need to have a collection of capabilities. So if you were to go back to the example of Amsterdam University Medical Center, we needed strong data processing capabilities where we could import and process DICOM images. We talked about 3D images of lesions, right? So I need to have strong visualization capabilities where I can begin to visualize the livers, the lesions in a three-dimensional format. And then we needed computer vision and machine learning capabilities. And finally, how this can only become a reality if we can tie this back into the workflow that a radiologist uses. We need to be able to deploy these models directly into the medical imaging machines or into the computerized workflow for radiologists. A lot of times what we find is people can end up creating models, but they're not able to deploy them easily. And in fact, only 50% of the models get deployed. And a lot of times it takes organizations more than 3 months to deploy any model that they have created as well. So what we are focused on when we talk about making AI real is the SaaS platform provides all of the capabilities that I have just talked about. And all this with the right level of governance, orchestration, and security. And all of these capabilities are available to our customers anywhere, whether we talk about on-premise or cloud, on Intel architecture as well. This is the first step towards making sure that we can make AI real. The second important step is what we also recognize is in order to solve customer problems, we need a broad toolkit of analytic capabilities. In other words, we need to be able to integrate with our customers' different systems. There's a desire on our customers for to use open source as well. So what we are doing is we are making it more and more easy for our customers to leverage open source methods along with SaaS methods. We are also making it easier for them to program in language of their choice, whether it's SaaS language, Java, Lua, R, Python, so on and so forth. And finally, we are making integration easier as well by enabling REST API calls both from SaaS and to SaaS. The third point I'll talk about is, you know, we all talk a lot about data scientists, but in order for AI to become adopted in any organization, we got to make it easier for anyone in the organization, irrespective of their skill set, to leverage AI. Whether you talk about business users, data scientists, specialized functional users, for example, in a bank, that may be a fraud investigator. It could be a risk portfolio manager. In manufacturing, it could be a demand planner. In case of university medical center, doctors, radiologists, right? All of them need to be able to leverage AI and being able to make sure that we are making it easy for people to adopt and leverage AI is an important aspect of making AI real. And the last part of it that I will say, something that both SAS and Intel together are also investing in, we did a survey together with Accenture, which was basically published in Forbes on AI maturity in an enterprise as well. And these kind of surveys, when we are working along with Accenture, also provides a good insight to executives on how they can begin to adopt AI in their organizations.
SAS is a member of our Intel AI Builders program. So one place that listeners can go to get more information is at our Builders website, builders.intel.com/AI. But also, if you wanted to direct our listeners to the SAS website, where could they learn more about what SAS is doing in the field of AI?
Go to sas.com/AI.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure to have you on today and to hear more about what SAS is doing in this industry. And I look forward to following the story of SAS and AI for healthcare.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. And it's been great talking to all of you.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to meet you.
This is Emily Hudson.
And I'm Derek Osborne.
And you're listening to Intel on AI.